Well, it's Wednesday again, 20th of January, and time for our midweek podcast. I'm going to pray as we begin. Jesus said, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Father, thank you that Jesus is coming back. Please encourage us now through your word as we wait for that day. Amen. I'm going to read from 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 2. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Now verse 13. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Well, the day has finally arrived, 20th of January 2011. Not, of course, as far as I know, the day of the Lord, though that could also be today. Now, I mean the day of the inauguration of Joe Biden as the new US president. It has seemed, to me at least, an awfully long time since the election took place on the 3rd of November, in the most rancorous and disturbing US election we have known. I'm sure we've all learnt a lot more about how US elections work or don't work in the last 2.5 months. Inauguration Day was set as January the 20th, by the 20th Amendment to the US Constitution passed back in 1933. For many, particularly in the US, I suspect this day will be marked by relief rather than rejoicing. Personally, we may have another day on our horizons, the day when we receive our COVID vaccination. That's not a date fixed in statute, not one that we are likely to be able to set in our calendar until a day or two beforehand, perhaps. But again, a day that will probably be marked by relief rather than rejoicing. But the day that Peter writes about in these verses is altogether of a different calibre, the day of the Lord. It is a day set by statute, by divine decree, not human law. Unlike the US inauguration, it's not a date we can mark in our calendar. Unlike our COVID vaccination, it's not a date that we will be given a few days beforehand. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Peter is picking up on some of Jesus' own imagery when he says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." It is a day that will be far more dramatic than anything that could happen at today's inauguration. Yet even to say that underplays its all-embracing significance and extent. We cannot really compare it with anything else. Just listen again to what Peter says will happen on that day in verse 10. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Shouldn't that instill in us a far greater fear than absolute anything else does? Well, I want to suggest that actually Peter's purpose in writing these things is that we should look forward to this day as a day of relief, a day of great relief and great rejoicing. And that knowing this day is coming should help us now to persevere now when things are tough and when many around us don't believe that there is such a day of reckoning to come. It's a day for us to hold in holy awe, yes, but not in terror if we know Jesus the Judge. After all, Peter is writing this letter to believers. In the opening verse, he describes them as those who, through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. And what he wants for them is grace and peace in abundance through knowing God, the Father, and Jesus. He doesn't want them to live in fear of Jesus' return, but rather to be at peace, because Jesus is coming back to deal with all that is evil and to bring them into this place of righteousness, the new heaven and new earth. So, if you are trusting in Jesus as your Saviour, as the one who has paid the penalty for all that is evil in you, then be encouraged. But if you're still keeping Jesus at bay, heed the warning. The day is coming. Don't be caught out by it. Whilst that day is still future, Jesus is being patient with you. His heart's desire is that you come to repentance. He really does love you that much and longs to welcome you into this place where righteousness, his righteousness, dwells. We seem to live in an age of scoffers. We only have to look around and see how the majority of our politicians, world leaders, and celebrities live their lives, with no sense of there being a day of reckoning, a day of judgment to come, when they will be called to account to the Creator of this world for how they have lived in it. We probably know many friends and family members who similarly dismiss Jesus as having any relevance to their lives. We shouldn't be surprised. Peter would put us in the age of the last days before Jesus' return. There is no further revelation that God needs to or will give us to enable our rescue. As Jesus told us in the parable of the tenants in the vineyard, last of all, he sent his son to them. Of course, Peter was writing in the last days as well. This age extends from the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to the day of Jesus' return. This letter was probably written only about 30 years after Jesus' death, yet already there were people scoffing at the idea of Jesus coming back. 2 millennia later, it's perhaps understandable that people scoff at the idea of a day of reckoning, when it seems to them that people have seemingly been getting away with doing more or less what they like all this time. But they are ignoring the biblical narrative. Peter reminds his readers of the flood in the days of Noah, verse 6. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. And he points out that the Lord works on a different timescale to us. When he wrote that with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like a day, I don't suppose he had any thought that nearly 2,000 years later people would still be waiting for the end of the age. But it's so helpful for us that he did. We can see that God's promise hasn't failed, and we can appreciate even more his patience with us and the strength of his committed love towards us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It does feel as if the world is under judgment at this time with the pandemic. It's not the final judgment, it's not on the scale of the flood, but it is surely a warning judgment to awaken people that we are not in control of this world and that there is a day of reckoning coming for which we can only be ready by taking refuge in Christ. I'm sure that many will continue to scoff because it allows them to rationalize following their own evil desires. Scoffing will continue to be a feature of these last days. but let's not be scoffers ourselves. Rather, let us be those who look forward to Jesus' return with great anticipation, as a day of great relief from all that is wrong in us and our world, and a day of great rejoicing in Jesus' final victory over evil. And let's be praying for the scoffers we know, that the Lord will soften their hearts and lead them to repentance. Let's pray now. Father, thank you that Jesus is coming back as he promised. Please help us to hold on to that hope and rest in that hope, in eager anticipation of the relief and rejoicing that there will be on that day. Thank you for your mercy to us in holding back that day, so that we have been able to come to know Jesus as our Saviour. Please extend that mercy to those we love and care for who have continued to scoff. May Jesus prepare a place for them too, and welcome them into his kingdom. And as our world continues to struggle under the coronavirus pandemic, we pray for your mercy on the nations, including our own. Please shake us out of complacency, fulfill your purposes, and hasten the day when the virus is overcome and health services are able to function normally. Thank you that vaccination is now underway in many countries. We pray that this will provide good protection for those who need it most. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in today. Do be signing in for one of our services if you are able to join us next Sunday. It will be lovely to see you.